Father, forgive them, my Savior prayed. Even while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, and dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my song shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, and dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, and dying for me.
Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll tell Brother Sam, I wasn't smoking, I was vaping. That's a vapor rub. At least my nose is clear, you know. Proverbs chapter 4. You know, the first part of Proverbs, God, and he speaks imparting wisdom necessary for life. Biblical wisdom is not necessarily just knowing the truth between right and wrong. Oh, we got to dismiss our kids. Okay, we'll dismiss our kids to Sunday school. They're waving. Dismiss our kids to children's church. All right. All right. It's okay, guys. You can go. Come on around. They're going to drown in children this morning. All right. Biblical wisdom is a little bit different than sometimes we approach it in society. Biblical wisdom is not only knowing something, it's choosing to do it. Whenever the Word of God speaks about the wise man versus the fool, both of them are often confronted with the same truth, but the fool rejects known truth while the wise man applies it. Wisdom, then, is not just knowing truth, it's choosing to do something with it, choosing to heed the truth. And Solomon here, he's sincerely beckoning to his son. He says there in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine." You know, I'm a dad, and I can just hear him pleading with his kids, maybe snapping his fingers. Hey, look at me. Stop looking up. Listen, I'm giving you good advice. "Forsake ye not my law." I was my father's son. You know, you think of Solomon, his dad was David. I'd love to sit at his feet and be taught. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And David wrote much of God's word in the Psalms. We come down to verse 23. Well, verse 20. He beckons again and he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't just sit there, but actually listen. To incline your ear is like what you do when you're trying to eavesdrop on somebody. You know, you kind of lean over. You incline your ear. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And here's the verse that this morning's message kind of comes out of. I want to apply some different things related to it. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, not casually, not haphazardly, not carelessly, diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep there, it means to set a keep or to guard, not just to have a door, but to guard the door, to lock it, to set somebody there. That's what you would do, you know, in fact, in the New Testament, when they talked about somebody going to jail, it was said that they were put in keep. All right. The idea is to guard your heart because out of it are the issues of life. I want to preach a message to you this morning on guard against evil, on guard against evil. I think a good sister passage with this is out of Romans chapter 12, where the apostle says, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. The world seeks to conform you. They seek to influence you. Satan, the prince of the power of the air, has a plan for your life. He would love to wreck God's will for your life. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we are going to live out God's will in our life, if we're going to follow His word, if we are going to become like Christ as we ought to and mature spiritually, we must guard ourselves against the wrong kind of influences. When we take these words in the latter part of the chapter, we apply the wisdom of God's word regarding the nature of evil, the consequences of evil. It becomes evident we must guard ourselves in several ways. Let's have a word of prayer. Would you pray with me? Lord, we need your help today. Help me as I preach. Speak through me. I'm not sure what this crackling noise is, Lord, but I pray that it go away. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to submit our hearts to your word. We thank you for the privilege of coming here. We think, dear Lord, of those to be with us this morning. I do think of Miss Gloria. I think of Miss Tracy. Pray, God, that you'd be with them, other members that are not here. And dear Lord, those just watching through live stream, pray that you just minister to our hearts. Help us, dear Lord, to take this seriously, that we'd guard our hearts against the influence of the world, against the flesh, against the devil. In your name I pray. Amen. I want you to look at verse 23 again, and we'll just concentrate there for a moment before we begin to put some of these pieces together. The author here is telling us to guard our heart, on guard against evil, guard our heart. We believe a danger of loving evil. The heart of the evil man really is in view, kind of, as you look at the verses previous to this, and we'll spend a few minutes. His heart thrives for evil. It's perverted and twisted and unnatural in its desires. And there's a movement today that of people that are actually loving things that are not just unbiblical, but they're unhealthy, they're harmful, they're against what creation. You can see that within our society. People in love with self-destructive behavior, with self-destructive recreation, with self-destructive hobbies, with destructive just practices. And then pretending that somehow it's noble. We must guard ourselves. It says to keep your heart with all diligence, persistence, consistency, always on guard. I think of the words in Ephesians chapter 6 that tells us to put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Can I tell you, friend, that the devil, our adversary, he does not take a day off. He does not take a day off. He desires to ensnare you. He desires to ruin your life. And you may think, well, Pastor, that it's not quite that dramatic. No, usually it's not for believers and for those that follow the Lord. You know what? All he wants you to do is compromise a little. Amen. To take a step back a little. To open the door a little. To drop your guard a little. And so the Word of God tells us, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, the heart is the seat of the desires, the decision-making process. In Scripture, the mind and the heart, kind of, they're almost one and the same. That which is in your heart is also occupying your mind. The word heart is a broad characteristic or idea in the Old Testament. If the desires of your heart are evil, if they're influenced by the world, if they're influenced by the ungodly or by the adversary, it will lead to your destruction. If the desires of your heart are godly, it will lead you to a godly light. Out of your heart are the issues of life. The heart is the control center. And so just considering that, I believe that we really need to do several things. One thing we need to do is to allow God's Word to influence our heart. You know, it's significant, the Word of God says in Psalm 119, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart," finish it with me, church, "that I might not sin against Thee." As we take God's Word in, it will influence our heart. It will build our desires. I think we need to hand over the controls to the Holy Spirit on a day-by-day basis. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Amen. You know what that tells me? It tells me that you have a choice. Who you will submit to on a daily basis. We'll say, "Pastor, I know these things. I know I need to take God's Word in to continually bring in the right influence. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, but some days it's difficult." Well, Christian, there are a few things within this passage that can help us. One is to guard our relationships. Look at verse 14. Guard your relationships. Relationships are a tremendous influence in your life. Now, hopefully you have relationships that, if I can say it this way, you are seeking to be an influence in. I understand that. And we all. But the Word of God warns us against, here it is, finding companionship with evil. Now, Lord willing, you're seeking to influence the world. But friend, when we begin to find companionship with the ungodly, it is the world that will influence us. See, look at verse 14. He's telling his son now here, he says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away except they cause some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness," the vivid picture, "and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Companionship with the ungodly is to be avoided. It is harmful for us. The Scripture says here in verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked." Go not in the way. The path and the way refer to their course of life. Don't take up company with, don't make traveling companions with those who are actively living in sin. Ungodly, a reputation of wickedness. You know, wisdom, you try to tell your kids this, you know, you look at kids and who they hang out with, and you know that eventually it will influence them. That's just common sense. But the Bible also warns us of this, and something that, you know, it says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." And I have people say to me, "Well, you know, we're all adults here. It's not going to affect me." So saith the fool. The fool rageth and is confident. It's not going to affect me. Really? So you're telling me you know better than the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. And when it is that we think we can disagree with God's word because we're more of an expert on the subject, we're lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. Verse 15, he says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. Don't take these folks in as companions. A mission field, maybe. Controlled contact, yes, but be careful. You get close enough to be tempted by their evil. And you say, what doesn't bother me? Well, friend, your flesh. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah 17:9? It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Raise your hand if you don't have a heart. Yeah, some of you started to raise your hand anyway, just because Pastor was telling you to. Don't do that, okay? Each one of us has a heart that is prone to being influenced. Yes, you've been redeemed. Your soul got saved. Your spirit was given life. But do you realize your flesh did not get saved? And you won't live it until you won't lose it until you step into eternity. And our flesh is prone to patience. Pass away, a note of finality. The author could not have said it more clearly. Don't toy with evil. Don't think about it. Don't look at it. Don't come near it. Stay away if you can. What kind of evil, Pastor? Well, you know, the outer sins, the great sins, they come to mind. But, you know, sometimes it's not even those. It's the character flaws that you and I need to be careful of. Consider this scripture verse. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn the error of his ways. You know, somebody with an anger
problem.
Now you're awake. I was just testing. Somebody with an anger problem, if you hang around them long enough, you'll begin to justify yourself. Well, I don't have as much of a problem as they do. It'll begin to catch on. What do people do when they're angry? Well, they do foolish things. They break things. They say things. Much time to throw things. Ungodly speech comes out of their mouth. Do you realize the speech of others, if you and I hang around those with ungodly speech long enough? I've worked in the world. My previous church, I was working at just different places, and I began to notice that though I have a conviction against ungodly speech, you spend around it long enough, you spend enough time around it, what happens? It comes into your ear. Where does it go? It goes into your heart. And when something happens to you, you catch yourself being tempted to say it. Preacher, you would be tempted. Well, not by willingness, but simply by exposure. I still have a conviction against that. But you know what I realized? I need to be careful of exposure. Stay away. And see, if it's that true for something as seemingly innocent as just exposure in these different areas, Christian, you are not above corruption. Your adversary, the devil, comes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Guard your relationships. Psalm 1:1 says this. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sometimes Christians will go to the world for counsel before they'll go to the Word of God and to God's people. Companionship with the ungodly. Pastor, they're not living in open and overt sin. Well, if they're living in rebellion to God, their counsel is not going to be guided by God's Word. You need God's counsel. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes the humor that mocks God is appealing to our flesh. Those living in sin, be careful. Guard your relationship. Verse 16 says that their motivation in life, some people, their motivation is corruption of others. Do you know that sometimes folks that you meet, when you tell them you're a Christian, whether they tell you about it or not, their goal is just to get you to fall. Yeah. I'm gonna corrupt them. I remember talking with a man. He's a believer. He went into selling cars, and they knew that he was a believer, and it was their goal to get him to compromise on his standards and go out drinking with them. He became their mark. They told him that later. They never could get him to go. Okay. And so their goal is sometimes, many times, there are people who have a desire just to get you to do the things they're doing. It says they eat the bread of, drink the wine of violence. I apologize. We're still having some of this sorted out from the strike. And our soundboard's still suffering some Chain reaction, folks. Okay. Bread and wine is the sustenance of life. Folks make doing wrong and leading others astray the substance of their life. That's the companionship with evil. But you know what? The scripture tells us sin is their heart's desire. I think about this. One of the reasons we're to avoid companionship with the wicked is that their innermost desire is just to do wrong. They thrive on it. You can think about our commercialized world. Many times, if you think about our culture, you think about the music culture. Different aspects of our music culture and genres, they glorify sinful activities that the Word of God warns us against, don't they? They glorify pride, the exaltation of self. They glorify greed. They glorify recreational drug use. They glorify drunkenness. They glorify... Allow those enough, it will begin to impact even our own heart. Do you realize that those things never satisfy? They're eating bread and drinking wine. They're living on something that never truly satisfies. And at the end of the day, the folks who are living that, they're not satisfied. But I'll tell you what does satisfy. The Bible says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So you were not made to be satisfied by the things of this world, by sin. It will always leave you wanting more. And when you spend your life, if you're not careful, making companionship with those who do such things, you'll begin to lose sight of that. That there is joy in living for the Lord. There is joy in surrendering to the Lord. There is joy in leaving behind the sins of the world and serving God as a living sacrifice. God promises to satisfy. Look at the results of verse 18. It says, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Sometimes in this life, it seems like somebody living in the world, living for themselves, doing whatever they want, living in sin even, rebelling against godly advice, they seem to be having all the fun, but they're not. It doesn't satisfy. I'm going to read out of Psalm chapter 1. This is a scripture verse that comes to mind whenever I think of influence and relationships. Psalm chapter 1 warns against the predominant influences in our life, that it not be the ungodly, but that it be the Word of God. There's a choice there. Maybe this was one of the psalms that David taught Solomon, that he's thinking of as he's teaching his son. I don't know, have you ever think about that? The relationships between people who were involved in the scripture and writing of scripture, and they knew each other, the different Old Testament prophets. Here God uses David to write this. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Look down at verse 4. What's the result of pursuing the lust of the flesh and just living that way? It says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. No substance of life, no legacy in life, nothing to look forward to at the end of life. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Christian, the world really doesn't have anything that you need when it comes to that. But God does. See, verse 18 of Proverbs 4 says, "The just," that is, the justified, continuing to live justly in righteousness, the path of the just, his life, is as the shining light. His life is filled with illumination, with direction. There are so many... We have reached a point in our society, and I don't know if it's because we're so successful. I don't know why it is, but I don't think ever before in history has it taken people 30 or 40 years to find themselves before they find their purpose in life and get a job and then become productive units of society. You know, there's people you meet that are still, you know, trying to find themselves. Find yourself. Find the Lord. Serve Him. You know? But the path of the just leads to that. Okay? It leads to that. And it says it shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The purpose, the reason that we are here is to serve God and to glorify Him. And as we do that, it says, Psalm 37:23, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. One day at a time, as I submit to the Lord, God guides my way, and my life works out. Praise God for that. The picture here is of a overhead light continually giving more and more light, until it's directly overhead. The sun rising and continually giving more and more light. We know what that's like in Florida. Seems like the sun never sets. They said it never sets on the British Empire. It almost never sets in Florida. But the path of the just, you're literally walking toward the source of light, which is God and His Word. And so every step in that direction brings more illumination, brings discernment. And as the righteous man continually walks on the way of wisdom, obeying God's word, he's wiser, more discerning, greater knowledge of God. Unto that perfect day, it says, unto the day that we emerge into the presence of God Almighty. That's the life I want to live, better and better. Well, look at verse 19. Those who reject wisdom, reject God's word, the ungodly, who sometimes were tempted to draw in as companions, the world around us sometimes with their worldliness. And I'm not talking about all unsaved people, Christian. I'm talking about those who are living in open rebellion to the Lord. And that could even be a Christian. There are believers who you say, well, they're saved, so... But if they're choosing to live ungodly lives, they should not be a close companion to you. Yes, maybe a mission field. Yes, maybe you reaching out to them. But control your exposure because it can lead you astray. Galatians chapter 6 says, if one of you err, those of you that are spiritual, bring him back, considering thou self, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Lack of direction. If every step into the light brings more light, then every step into the darkness brings more darkness. More darkness. Have you ever met somebody living in sin or somebody out of God's will, not in touch with God, or maybe just somebody who it seemed like one decision after another blows up in their face? One problem after another. I just can't figure it out. I just got a strain of bad luck. Now you believe in that, okay? Have you heard this scripture verse before? It says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. See, when we continually strain against and rebel against God's word, it's hard on us. It's a hard life. Proverbs 28 says it this way, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, I'm not saying that righteous folks won't have problems, because you live in a world that is touched by sin too. And even if you serve God, guess what? You're going to get a flat tire once in a while, and you're still going to get sick, and you may have an economic problem. Have a family problem? Yeah, Job did. In fact, it says in the book of Job, unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, as long as we live in this world, we will struggle with those things, but the difference is several things to keep in mind. If you're living for the Lord and following Him, they're little more than stepping stones on your path to spiritual maturity. They're opportunities to test your faith. They're opportunities to grow. See, the book of James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It has a picture almost like working out. You don't strengthen a muscle by letting it rest all the time. It's got to work out. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The picture there is of spiritual maturity, that God allows that to happen. The necessary process is going through trials. Yes, Christians still go through those things, but they accomplish something. And God is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That it's not because of chastisement or something out of God's hand or God's will, but that God is in control and this is accomplishing something. And God will see you through. guard your heart by guarding your relationships. And then very quickly, look at verse 24. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. You know, it says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Froward is twisted, double speak, unethical, deformed, causing deformity. Perverse is sinful speech. That would include all types of sinful speech, taking God's name in vain, unethical speech, filthy talking, hurtful speech, criticism, gossiping, bad language, thank you, Ashley. Tearing others down. What does it say in verse 24? Put it far from thee. The words of our mouth ought to glorify God. In fact, there's speech that the Lord hates. The scripture says in this same book of Proverbs 6, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And friend, when we use our mouth to speak sin instead of to glorify God, it's something that's disgusting to God. You know, I tie this back to the heart for one reason. Jesus comments in the book of Luke, several of the other gospels, that what comes out of our mouth proceeds forth from the heart. We must guard our heart. We must guard our mouth. Look at verse 25. We need to guard our eyes as well. I think this is becoming all too important as well. It says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. One way to keep your heart from being influenced towards evil is to stop looking at evil. Stop looking at evil. You know, some of the primetime television shows that are coming out are nothing more than primetime pornography. Be careful. Guard your heart by guarding your eyes. Christians don't need to be watching that. Pastor, I think under liberty, I think I can handle it. Okay, the fool rageth on, and it's going to influence you. It's going to harm you. It's going to corrupt you. Looking at something continually, you know what it does? If you look at something, it puts an image in your mind. That image in your mind buries itself into your heart. It stays there forever. Some of the stuff we wish would stay there forever doesn't stay there forever, okay? Oh, don't I know it? People say, Pastor, just wait. It gets better as you get older. And I just love you for that advice, you know. Such encouraging people here. But you know what does stay there forever is the things that we burn into our mind that connect with our fleshly heart. Be careful. Be careful. It's uncanny how that the devil can bring those things up. Purposeful direction is what we need. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You take control of your eyes. Say, well, there's all kinds of things. I can't control everything that I see. You know what? You're right sometimes. You're right. We do get blindsided by lustful images. We get blindsided by hurtful things. I understand that. But you don't have to keep looking. It said before that you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you don't have to let it build a nest in your hair. Right? And sometimes we are so influenced, even with our children too, because we make the choice to do that. This verse in verse 25 is of a man pushing towards a goal. Think of somebody working toward a goal like weight loss, you know. And some of you said, Pastor, now you're meddling. Don't say that. You know, those are... But people that are really sincere about what... You can talk to somebody who needs to lose weight. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face, and it will never happen until they make the decision, I'm going to do it. And then if they make the decision, guess what? They have to be willing to avoid some things. If you're on a diet, you don't go to Dunkin' Donuts. You don't... I'm sorry. Yeah, right. That was the first thing Craig heard today. No. You stay away from the all-you-can-eat buffet. Here it is. Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And so we protect our heart by keeping our eyes from taking in those lustful images, those evil images, from looking at evil. It will desensitize us. It will change our viewpoints. I think three areas to watch your eyes is that of covetousness. Oh, it is so easy to want things that you don't have. And there's plenty of stuff out there to want. There's a lot of nice stuff to want that I don't have either. You know? I'm not being covetous, okay? Beware of gazing at and coveting things that God has not given you. You can trust Him in His timing. My God shall supply all thy needs according to His riches and glory. Protect your heart by protecting your eyes against covetousness. Materialism. How's that different? Well, covetousness is loving what you don't have and always wanting more. Materialism would just be a general, you know, obsession with stuff. Much time can be wasted by gazing on things, just pursuing the desire of materialism. Keep things in perspective. And I think immorality. Oh my goodness. Satan desires to corrupt homes through the television. And we have a television. We do. We have Netflix. I'll tell you, friend, you need to put a rein on it. Be in control of it. Guard your eyes from that. And plan for visual purity. Look at verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. You are in control of this. Can't blame it on anybody else. Let all thy ways be established. Plan to avoid the temptations of sight. And if you know where it is, then avoid it. And by doing these things, you guard your way. If you guard your heart by guarding the influences, out of it are the issues of life. What's verse 27 say? Once you're on the right path, stay there. Stay there. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, there will come along the path, come along the way. And I talk to people sometimes who are struggling with addictions. I know some different folks who are trying to quit smoking. You can do it, all right? You say, well, I've done it before and I wasn't successful. Well, do it again and maybe this time it'll work. Just keep trying, okay? And it's hard. But you know what you got to do? You got to avoid those little deviations. You got to avoid the little compromise. Because little turns into much and more. Turn not from it to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Pastor, how much can I compromise in this area? Well, my question to you would be, how much corruption from sin do you want? Well, that's not very edifying. It doesn't make me feel great. Well, by God's grace, when you serve God and you take this to heart, what does Solomon say? I don't really think that Solomon sat down with his son this day and said, "Son, I just want to give you the most enjoyable talk. Let's talk about evil." It's a warning. Sometimes warnings aren't fun, but oh, they're so needed. Let me ask you this as we close. Have you set a guard on your heart? Have you set a guard on your heart? Have you found your heart desiring those things that it should not be? Christian, a very easy question is this. Does this desire bring glory to God? Does it bring glory to God? If you cannot do it to the glory of God, then Christian, you probably should not do it. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, think about these things. Are the friendships you maintain with godly people? Do you pursue companionships with those that will influence you in a godly way? Are you guarding the things that you say and the things that you hear? Are you guarding your eyes? Are you guarding your way against compromise? The path of the just is as a shining light. If you desire direction, discernment,
you desire God's way in your life, then set a guard against evil. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us this morning to consider these scripture verses, this warning. Help us to take it to heart, just to apply these things. And we give you the praise in your name, I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God has spoken to your heart this morning, talk to the Lord during our invitation time. If you need special prayer, now is the time. If you've come this morning and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God, friend, it's available to you through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you that you might live. And he offers you salvation if you will simply believe the gospel. If you'd like to accept Christ today, I'd be more than willing to lead you. As the invitation hymn plays, talk to the Lord, do business with God. The altar